From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday. I hope it is just as wonderful weather where you are as it is here in southeastern Wisconsin. And such a pleasure to say that 2 days in a row, unseasonably warm and sunny. We've got a nice end of the week, but of course the weekend, not going to be all that great.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. It's Thursday. I've got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, in the co-host chair with me. He is a Navy vet, a small business owner, a reasonable guy, and a good friend of the show and a good friend of each and every one of yours. We've got quite a show lined up for you today. Lots of Tom and I kicking things around, which is going to leave a lot of space for you all to call in and participate in this fine program. 855-752-4842. The topics of the day, we're going to start out with what Pope Francis's legacy is, and is he a progressive? Question mark. I'm not sure. We're going to discuss. We want to hear from all of you. We're also going to get to what I'm just going to call the Hegseth hellstorm that just keeps whipping up into other problems.
Who knew this would happen?
Right. Who knew that this completely unqualified, guy with likely a drinking problem and some credible allegations of harassment and sexual assault might not be the right person to head up our Department of Defense? Who knew? We're going to talk about Hegseth. We're also going to talk about some of the developments over the last couple of days relating to the falling apart, maybe fully defunct, Russia and Ukraine. I'm not even going to call them negotiations. Negotiating, you have to actually be talking about each party giving up something that they don't want to give up. That's negotiation. That's not what we've got here. So we're going to touch on all of that. If we have time, we are going to get to the controversy roiling, the Milwaukee County courts. Allegations against Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan that she hid a person that appeared in her court from ICE agents and is the subject of an FBI investigation. So Tom and I are going to try to get to all of that. We also have a special guest coming in. I like having guests like our first one today, Tom, because it's a super wonk. And you know I like me some wonk. His name is Pete Kinotek. He heads up an organization called Climate Safe Pensions. And the purpose of this organization is to try to convince the Wisconsin retirement system, which is the public employees pension system, to stop investing the billions and billions of dollars that they control in things in investments and businesses that may be destroying our climate. So we're going to talk to Pete. He's going to be here at 5:20. We're going to round out the show this afternoon with a guy who just in the last couple of months has put out papers on both the care economy and what we're going to need to do to care for aging baby boomers, as well as, Donald Trump wants to give moms $5,000 a piece for having a baby. Who's going to care for all those babies as childcare collapses in this country? We're going to talk about the care economy, as well as put out a paper recently on tax policy. Now, tax policy, at least I hope people are now thinking that sounds interesting because they've been listening to us. Tax policy is where it's at, folks. It's an expression of our value system as a country. And our taxes have gotten less progressive in the last 50 years. By that, I mean, we've shifted much of the financial funding burden of our government, of our defense systems, of our border security, of Social Security, whatever you want to lump into the government, from the wealthiest among us to working people. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to specifically get to the Donald Trump tax terror called tariffs that seem to change every day and how that's impacting Wisconsinites. So all of that to come. Edie Dutta Gupta is going to join us at 5:30. Don't worry, I won't make you pronounce his name, everybody. I'll do that part. But that promises to be an excellent conversation. So, Tom, without further ado, let's get into it.
Yes.
I was raised in the Catholic Church and attended a little parish called St. Pius X on the near northwest side of Milwaukee, technically in Wauwatosa. And I grew up in St. Pius X Catholic Parish. That's where I did CCD.
Yes.
And for many years when I was growing up there, our pastor was a guy by the name of Father Luke MacArthur. He actually put a halfway house right next to the church.
Wow.
He actually said Mass for members of the LGBTQIA community. There were often people in our church that got a little ticked off when he would give his homilies and leave Mass. Yes. Like, that was the first time I ever saw anybody get so ticked off they left Mass. So I grew up in a fairly progressive, inclusive church. Didn't really get that not all churches were like that, because as you're a little person, you think that your experience defines the universe. And I've had a very complicated, at times I'd call it even painful, relationship to my faith that I had growing up. A lapsed Catholic might be a word. I do attend Mass, Easter, Christmas, when I'm home with my folks, Mother's Day, Feast of the Holy Family, those types of things.
Yep.
Tom, when you look at Pope Francis's legacy, what jumps out to you? I mean, a lot of discussion over the last few days that he tried to be this inclusive pope, that he eschewed the regal trappings of the papacy to be a more man of the people, often referred to as the people's pope. What's your take on this? And folks, we want to hear from you, Tom and I do. 855-752-4842. What do you think Pope Francis's legacy will be, Tom?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I grew up in the opposite type of Catholic church. It was also on the northwest side. It was the old St. Catherine's up in Brown Deer.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, went to CCD. I was an altar boy, you know.
Did they have altar girls?
This was before altar girls, mm-hmm. or I don't even know if they have altar girls now. But it was very staid and very conservative when it came to, here's what we teach. Here's what we do. And and to me, looking back on it, because I went to church every single Sunday till I was about 18 years old. And, you know, I've gone back and forth over the years. I'm currently not a practicing Catholic, but just understanding that, coming from that background, allows you to take a look at the Pope. Because I distinctly remember in 1977 when we had a Pope, and then we had another Pope within like a month later. And it was so shocking to people. And it's like, no, Popes turn over. I mean, you know, yes. there's a reason for it. But when you think about Pope Francis, though, he walked this line, and it was the line between advocating for the poor, which I thought he just always championed, right?
He
constantly was talking about how across the world, we need to treat the poor with better respect and the underprivileged, to be able to say, this is how we should be treating people, because this is the way Christ would want people to be treated. But then you add the hierarchy of the church. And to me, it's one of those things that the church itself is not religion. The church is the mechanics of religion. And he had a very hard time to trying to change the Vatican and trying to change the way the church goes about things. So it was very difficult for him to get involved in things that would make a big picture difference. So I think he just decided to advocate for the poor is the thing that he said. And I love the fact that at one point he just said, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge about people and their differences of whatever they're going to do in their life? That's up to God. That's not up to me.
So it's interesting, as I have been pondering this over the last few days, and I didn't want to entertain this topic right away on Monday because I wanted to take a breath, a moment, to reflect and think a little bit about this. And as I was noodling his legacy and my very deep personal feelings about it, what started to become clear to me is that my feelings about Pope Francis often, I have been less generous than I have with some political leaders, but that the through line between my criticisms, especially of leaders that are close to my values and beliefs, so in broad strokes, more Democrats than conservatives, more Democrats than Republicans, but that the through line between them and my criticisms, when I do criticize Democrats, and I do regularly, is that those that stand to lead and accept the mantle of leadership must also agree to push forward system and institutional reform when the systems and institutions do not reflect the most fundamental values or vision of that person, of what you've said to the world your values are, or what you ran on, or what, in this case, Pope Francis said his values were. I expected vigorous, and I expect this of elected leaders as well, vigorous system reform and system reassessment.
Yes.
And I feel that more strongly about the Catholic Church, that the government of the Catholic Church, which is the church itself, the institution, is and has been for so very long in desperate need of system reform. And we have yet to, I mean, Vatican II happened. Yes, we don't listen to masses in Latin. Yes, St. Pius X parish in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, let me be an altar girl.
Yes.
But what I'm talking about is real fundamental system reform I haven't seen. And when I look at Pope Francis, what I saw was a lot of what I think is the necessary predicate to the system reform, articulating that we serve the poor, that we have to be always focused on the dignity of the world's most vulnerable people, a church of inclusion, of engagement, of meeting people where they are. Yes, 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 yes. A focus on the dignity of the migrant, right? All of those things. And yet, when it came to pushing for, and I don't even mean it's necessarily going to be successful, but the vigorous confrontation of the system that stands in the way of those values, I didn't see that from him.
Yeah, and I think here's the interesting point. I don't think we know yet.
This is true.
You know, to quote Hamilton, right, you don't have the votes. One of the things that I read over the last week was is that Pope Francis, he's named over 80% of the new, of the cardinals that are going to elect the new pope.
No kidding.
And I think we're going to find out if he's been able to make substantive change in order to see what happens next. So folks, that's what I'm looking for.
Folks, we got Tom Paulswitz in the guest co-host chair with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. What is your impression of Pope Francis's legacy? 855-752-4842. Remember, women, vets, conservatives, new callers. You go to the top of the caller line, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.